Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to Song 426. Song 426 in your songbooks. We'll sing I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And if you would stand, we'll sing Song 426. I heard bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. Shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, for a beautiful Sunday that we get to meet in your house and to hear your word preached. I want to thank you, Lord, for the soul winning marathon that happened yesterday, all the souls that were saved, and throughout last week as well. I pray, Lord, now that you would just be with our pastor, fill him with your power and spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your blue, there we go. Yeah. Take your blue Mountain Baptist songbooks, your blue Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual songbooks, and turn to page number 2. Turn to page number 2 in your blue Mountain Baptist songbooks. We'll sing Psalm 15, page number 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor take up reproach against his neighbor. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, in whose eyes of a person is content, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. In whose eyes of a person is content, everybody honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
Well, amen. Welcome to Mount Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. And a beautiful morning, a little chilly, but it's supposed to be warming up, I think, to at least get into the 50s today. Some announcements here. We do have some visitors from Monongah, so not too far away there. If you haven't got a chance, say hi to them. We also have our Canadian brethren that came in, and we had the soul winning marathon this weekend, so praise the Lord for the salvations there. And then also just for everybody that came out to help with that. As you see, we have a new piano up here. It needs to be tuned. I guess it'd be okay. It's just a little flat, I think. The old piano, if anybody is wanting a piano to have at home to practice or anything like that, it's yours. So first come, first serve, as far as that goes. It's heavy, and obviously you might need some help moving it. We'll figure that out. But just want to put that out there. If anybody wants a piano, it's yours. We don't want to stockpile pianos. Plus, we don't have that much room as it is right now anyway. I appreciate the men that helped me move this yesterday. A blessing there. As far as announcements go, be in prayer for those who aren't feeling well. I know Brother Nick is still not feeling well. And then James has had a fever off and on, so that's why most of my family's out, except for Clara. But most of my family's not sick. It's just, with me preaching up here, I can't really wrangle all my kids, during the church service. But just be in prayer there. I know others that have been getting over sicknesses or maybe still dealing with that. So just be in prayer there. 'Tis the season for all of that. And then after the service, don't forget that we'll be doing the kids' choir practice for the Christmas music. And so any of the kids that are going to be participating in that, we'll have that afterwards. As far as church services go, everything should be normal today. We'll have our afternoon service at 4 p.m., but before that, we're going to have our main soul winning time at 1 p.m., so give you some time to go get some lunch. You can come back here. We'll get teamed up to go out soul winning at 1 p.m. And then also the regional soul winning times, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. Just be on our church group there as far as knowing the exact locations, time, and all that too, as far as sometimes those get shifted to different days. So these are kind of tentative times, especially with it getting dark at like 5 o'clock now. I know some of the men will go a little earlier if they can, just to kind of get there out there when it's still light. It is what it is. Right? We're in some short days now. And then on the upcoming events there, we have the men's prayer meeting that'll be this coming Friday. So after you go out on Black Friday and trample everybody, you can come back here and ask for forgiveness. Is Black Friday even that much of a thing anymore? Like, everything's online, I've seen Black Friday deals now. So, which I'm not against, you know, because I was never for Black Friday anyway. Not saying you're in sin if you did Black Friday, but I just don't like shopping anyway, let alone when everybody's like trampling you. Anyway. So, but that being said, we're going to have the men's prayer meeting this coming Friday. We do have on the list there December 9th as our Christmas party. So I'm thinking on that Saturday of having it around 1:30. And the reason for that is we have a lot of kids, and it takes a little bit to get that sugar down before bedtime. And so I'm thinking around that time, we are going to have, like, the White Elephant gift exchange. And obviously, I think everybody knows the way that works. You just bring, for everybody that wants to participate, you bring a gift for everybody that's going to participate. Doesn't have to be anything expensive. I think we had like a $5 or $10 type of, like that's the range you want to be in. But, you know, people give gag gifts and everything else. We've seen that where someone will give you I saw one time at the church at Emmanuel, someone filled up a cereal box with lemons. And that was the gift. So now, if someone finds out, yeah, that's right. Fruit nowadays, nowadays, like, give me that. For kids opening that, they're not gonna be that happy. But anyway, we'll have the kids ones, and then we'll have the adult ones. So that'll be coming up here soon. So that'll be on the 9th, and then the next Saturday, there's gonna be a soul winning marathon. I think. It says Marietta, Ohio, but it may be Parkersburg. Now, those are really close together, so it's in the same area. So that's going to be on December 16th. If you can make it out to that, that'd be great. On the back of your bulletin there, we have our chapter memory of the month, Romans chapter 10. And so many of you probably have a lot of these verses memorized, if not the whole chapter. But it's always good to have this chapter memorized. For soul winning purposes, but just, you know, in general, it's a lot of great verses in there. Hebrews 13:5 is our memory verse for the week. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so that's our memory verse for the week. And then birthdays, did we miss anybody last week? Because I was out in Arizona last week. Did we get everybody last week? Before I get into the new ones here, because we have Bella, Alyssa. So we need to get Alyssa. Okay. So Alyssa Ford, and then Aaron, you're up too. How old are you, brother?
33.
You're still young. And then the Spinas are out. And then Juliet's the 25th, and Elijah's the 25th. So, and that's my younger brother's birthday, too. So, but he doesn't get sung to because he's got to be here for that. So, but, so Juliet, Elijah, so half the Ford family. So we'll get you, we'll sing for you here before we get into the next song. And then on the pregnancy list there, we have Alyssa, Anastasia, and Tabby. So be in prayer there for all these ladies, but also be in prayer for those that just had little ones. The recovery process there, transitioning into having more children. Just be in prayer for all those. And also be in prayer for those that are wanting to have more children and all that. Just be in prayer there that everything works out the way the Lord would want it. I think that's about all I have for announcements at the moment. Can't think of anything at the moment that I'll remember it for the next service if there's anything else. If you want to give a tithe or an offering, you can give it in the box right back there whenever you want. And then the mother-baby rooms for the mothers and babies only. We'll have Brother Dave come up, sing happy birthday, and also another song. And then I forgot, is it Brother Wade or Brother Anthony? Brother Anthony is going to be reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 for us before we get into the sermon.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to page 293. Song 293 in your songbooks we'll sing is "You're All on the Altar." Brother, let me get one of the, yeah. Thanks. "Is You're All on the Altar." But before we sing that, we need to sing happy birthday to all of these on the birthday list. So we have Alyssa, Aaron. Did you say Juliet is this week as well? Bella is sick. Like all five, except all of my kids are at home as well. So Bella's not here, so we'll sing happy birthday to her next time. Let's see. So Alyssa, Aaron, Juliet, Elijah. Dude, we're getting you all done this week, all right? You all want to stand up? There you go. Yeah. I wasn't gonna rag on Aaron because he's bigger than I am. And all right, so we'll sing happy birthday. And then Jules, there you go. You standing up? Why don't you stand up on that chair so we can see you? There you go. That's perfect. All right, awesome. We'll sing happy birthday to all y'all. Y'all ready? Here we go. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to y'all. And we will sing song number 293. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot be rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all them. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till your body and soul he doth fully control, and are all on the altar is laid. Christ laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother Anthony come and read that for us.
First Timothy chapter 6. The Bible reads, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and stripes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred according to concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning where we can gather and study from your word. I pray that you be with Pastor Robinson, filled with the Holy Spirit, and help us all to be edified this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. So you're there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to preach a sermon entitled Be Content. Be Content. And we're coming into Thanksgiving this coming next week, or I guess it's this week. Yeah, this week. It's Sunday. When I think about Thanksgiving, obviously, I think the big thing when it comes to being thankful is just being content with what you have. And there's actually a portion, I'm going to be getting into a certain point that really made me think of being content, or more so, being content is a way to deal with certain maybe problems that you have, I'm going to be getting into a certain one like anger, okay? And you may say, well, how does that help you with anger? Well, that's what I'm going to be getting into, because I do believe that that definitely correlates. But let's look at the text passage here in verse 3. Let's just get some context here as far as very famous passage here as far as being content. But verse 3 here says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So when it comes to the words of God, they are pure, they're holy, they're wholesome. There's never a time to be ashamed of what the Bible has to say. There may be some hard things that are said. There's some crass things that are said. But those are wholesome words. They're pure words. And anybody that would say otherwise is proud and they don't know anything. Amen. The Bible's right. You're wrong. And when it comes to what's pure, the Bible's right on what's pure. And what's evil, the Bible's right on what's evil. But the thing is that there's people out there that think that if you have gain, meaning that if you have riches, that means you're godly. You know, you think about the Joel Osteens of the world. You think about, like, this kind of prosperity type of preaching that's out there to where, you know, if you have a lot, that must mean that you're godly because you're being blessed. But there's a lot of wicked people that have a lot of money, and that doesn't mean that they're godly. And so just because you have a lot of things doesn't mean that you're godly or that that's coming from God. Now, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. We know that. And we know that God is good even to those that are evil and all that. We know that's true. But the idea here is that just because you have a lot of things doesn't mean that you're right with God and that you're doing what you should be doing. In a lot of cases, when you're dealing with the wicked or the unbelievers, you know, they'll have a lot of nice things, but, you know, don't envy them because their day is coming. And they're in slippery places, meaning that if they die, they're done. And all they have to remember of anything good is what they had in this world. But going on from that, in verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So being content, you know, obviously having godliness and being content with what you have is great gain. And it explains this a little further, because it says in verse 7, it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Think of Job. He says, naked came I into this world, and naked shall return thither, right? Is the idea there is that we came into the world with nothing, we're leaving with nothing. And what is this talking about? Physical things, right? Material things. So when you think about being content, I think the number one thing you're going to think of is what you have material-wise, right? What you have as far as like a house, car, like whatever, clothing, whatever you have is the idea is being content with what you have. But it says in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So if you're not hungry and you have clothes on your back, be content. And obviously God promises that to us. We get into a verse on that as well. But the idea here is that that's what we should just be content with that. Anything else is bonus, really. And going on from that, in verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Now, the thing that I want you to understand there is that it's not sinful to be rich, right? Solomon had great riches, and God gave him those riches. Where it gets sinful or wrong is where those that will desire and to, like, they want to be rich, right? It's like their whole modus operandi is to be rich, and that's what they're living for. They're living to be made rich. And the idea here is that those that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And here's where you really get into it. For the love of money is the root of all evil. See, money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, right? Money answers all things, and obviously you need money to pay the bills. You need money to go get food, get clothing, pay the rent, pay the mortgage, right? But the idea is that if you love money, right, is that's where you're getting it. And I know some people say, well, you know, it's the root of some evil, or it's a root of all evil. No, it's the root of all evil. And you can go all the way back to the devil, and he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted everything, right? He wanted all the possessions. He wanted all the, he wanted everything that came with it. And we need to be aware of that, that we don't love money, especially as we're going into the holiday season. You know, you think about like all the material things that are out there, and just not loving that, not loving, not you know, basically, obviously coveting things and all that. It says, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so this is a big warning out to Christians, basically saying, be content with what you have. If you have food and raiment, be content. And not to be just coveting after a whole bunch of stuff, not loving money, not seeking to be rich. And now if God makes you rich, praise the Lord. If he blesses you with many great things. And listen, I consider myself rich, okay? You know, as far as what we have in this world right now, I definitely don't consider myself poor. Now, if you compare yourself to millionaires and billionaires, then yeah, I mean, we're poor compared to that. But in all honesty, you know, I have a house, I have two vehicles, I have clothes on my back, you know, like, this is not Armani, but I got it at JCPenney's, and you know what, it fits nice, I like it, that's all it needs to be, right? You're like, JCPenney's, I got mine from a thrift store, you know, and I get that, you know, but the thing is that we need to be content with what we have, and obviously dealing with material possessions. And our memory verse for the week is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. You can turn there if you'd like. But Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, the thing with this is, I understand where, you know, obviously you would love to have enough money to where you don't have to worry about paying anything. You don't have to worry, you know, like everything's being paid. And listen, I'm all about having good finances and not just constantly being worried about paying the bills. Okay, so I'm not saying that you should be in that state, or you should definitely be in a state where you're just like, everything's getting paid, and it is what it is, and you're not living above your means. But I'll say this, and when it comes to the Lord as my helper, the idea here is that I don't want to be wealthy. And here's my reason why. Is in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 7, it says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. So you don't want to be on the poverty line, but I don't want to be rich either. And let me give you the reason. The Bible will tell you the reason why here. It says, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So you don't want to be on the poverty line where you're having to steal and, like, obviously you have to commit sin to try to even survive. You also don't want to be on the rich side where you're going to forget God. The idea is that you're in the realm where you have to trust in the Lord, and you're working and you're getting money. Because here's the thing: if you had enough money right now to just live for the next 20 years, okay, then I'm not saying that you can't serve the Lord. I'm not saying that, you know, you couldn't still do what you should be doing and live righteously and all that. But there's a tendency to basically say, I have what I need, and not lean on the Lord. When you're working and you're like, hey, if I stop working, the bills don't get paid, then you have to lean on the Lord. This is why the poor are rich in faith, because the poor are already having to lean on the Lord on a daily, weekly basis to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to survive if I don't keep working. And if the Lord doesn't bless me with health, doesn't bless me with a job, you know, all these things that you're basically leaning on the Lord for, if you have all the money in the world, that's where you get into the rich man mentality. Now, if you're saved already, well, praise the Lord. You have eternal life. You're going to heaven. But in this life, as far as living as a Christian, we need to be thinking about the fact that we still need to be leaning on the Lord in our Christian life. We need to be leaning on Him and trusting in Him and not just basically living life and saying, I'm doing it by myself. I'm lifting myself up by my own bootstraps. And the idea is I don't want to be in that state. And say what you will, and I get it. Fleshly speaking, I'd love to just have like $1 million, which that doesn't mean anything anymore, right? Yeah. $1 million is like, you know, well, that would be out in a couple years, right? Especially with the inflation and the way it's going. If I had $1 billion, next year it'll be $1 trillion. But we need to be thinking about what's good for our lives as a Christian. And sometimes, well, and a lot of times, we need to have these hard times. We need to have tribulation, because tribulation worketh experience and patience, and you know, that stuff is good to go through some down times, some hard times, because that will make us better people. We don't want to be constantly in that state, but go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. So when I think about this, I think about jobs. I think about the fact that, especially, you know, most of us are providing for our families as men, and we're working a job, we're working a full-time job, and we're trying to bring in an income to provide for our families, and that weight is on our shoulders, man, to provide for our families. And this is where we really need to be trusting in the Lord that, you know, that He'll provide. And here's the thing, with all the news, I mean, there's everything from the economy's going to crash, everything's going to be turned into some cryptocurrency, and all our money's going to be worth nothing, and you know, we need to do all that. And listen, I'm not saying that stuff isn't going to happen, but in the end, I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to worry about it. If everything turned to Bitcoin, I believe the Lord will somehow get me Bitcoin. You know, I'll figure it out, or whatever, right? But I'll say this, you know, cows are always have intrinsic value, right? So time to get some cows, get some pigs. No, but all joking aside, we need to just be trusting in the Lord and not be worried about, like, is the economy going to crash? What if this happens? What if this happens over here? No, just trust in the Lord. The Lord will provide. And here's the thing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're living for the Lord, and you're doing what God wants you to do, He will take care of you. He promises to take care of you. And just have that faith and that trust that He will. Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing believers, and they're basically asking, what do we do now, right? And in verse 12 here, it says, then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. So basically, he's like, don't defraud anybody, right? You're a public, you're taking tax, you know, whatever. And obviously, they didn't have a good view on publicans, just as much as we don't have a good view on the IRS. But the idea here is that don't extort anybody. But then it goes on to say in verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And I think that's the big thing when we think about, you know, our jobs, is just being content with what we're making. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ask for a raise. Doesn't mean that you can't find a job that has better wages. But here's the thing. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. And the idea is, I still remember, you know, you'll get into cases where someone's being paid more than you, and then you're working harder than them, or you've been there longer. Just be content with what you're making, and then, you know what? Hey, opportunities will arise. And I believe that God will open those doors. Maybe this other job will open up, or maybe you'll get that promotion and all of that. And again, I'm not against asking for a raise and saying, hey, you know, can I get a raise, all of that. I don't think that's wrong. But if you don't get the raise, be content, and maybe something else will open up. Maybe another job will open up. Maybe something else will come down the line. And in the end, obviously, we need to be able to provide for our families, and we got to do what we got to do when it comes to that. So, you know, being content with our job, being content with our wages, that's something sometimes hard to do, and we need to be content, and then if something else comes up, then great. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, dealing with the idea that it says, having therefore food and raiment, let us be there with content. The idea is that even with that, don't worry about it. You know, don't fret about it. And notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, when it says take no thought for it, it doesn't mean, like, just live in your basement and eat chips off your chest and expect everything to get paid for, right? The Bible says if you don't work, neither should you eat. The idea, though, is that if you're working hard, doing what you should be doing, don't worry about it. It'll be taken care of, right? And don't fret about it. God promises that he'll take care of it. It says in verse 32, it says, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Meaning this is that today, there's enough problems to worry about today than there is about tomorrow, right? And I know I preached on this before, but the idea is don't worry about things you can't control. You're like, well, you know, who's going to get elected? It's like, can you really control that? What are they going to do over here? What's the Supreme Court going to do over here? And I'm not saying not to pray about certain things. I'm just saying that I'm not going to lose sleep over things I can't control. And I have enough problems. It's kind of like when you think about, and I've talked about this too, as far as other churches and what's going on with them. And like worrying about like, well, what's this church going to do over here? They have this problem over here. It's like, let's worry about ourselves here. Let's keep our focus here. We haven't, and not saying we have a whole bunch of problems here, but I'm just saying we have enough problems here. We have enough problems in our own homes to where we can spend our whole lives worrying about that. And things that we can control, right? Because can you control what that church is doing over there? Can you control what that other family in the church is doing? So, but you can control what happens in your own home. You can control, you know, what you can control, that's what you should be thinking upon and what you should be focusing on. And so, me as a pastor, I'm going to focus on what does the church need here, because I can control it, because I'm actually the pastor here, right? But if I'm looking at another church and maybe they have some issues going on, I can pray for them. If they want my help, I can be there for them. But I can't control it. You know, I'm not in any position to do anything about it. And I think that'll take a lot of pressure off of you if you just let go of things you can't control. Don't fret about things you can't control. And there are things you can control, though. And so that's where you should put your focus. And being content with that, right? Being content with the things that you can control. And go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And ultimately, if you're content with what you have, if you're content with your job, you're content with the material things that you have, you're going to be thankful for what you have. And we should be thankful. We should give thanks always. And honestly, the more you think about what you have, the more you realize that we have way more than we need. Amen. I mean, when Christmas comes around, I know a lot of times, you know, my family will ask me, like, what would you like for Christmas? You know, is there anything you need? And honestly, there isn't. It's always a want, right? It's always like, well, you know, it'd be nice to have this, or it'd be nice to have this, but I don't need it. I don't have to have it. And so... When someone's asking you, you know, hey, what would you like for Christmas, and you can't think of anything you need, you know you're blessed. You know that you have what you need. You know that you should be thankful for everything that you have. And especially here in America, you know, after going out to Greece and doing that mission trip we did in August, it really made it, well, one, praise the Lord that I was born in America, you know. But the idea of, like, what we have compared to what other people have, what my children have compared to what other families have. And I'm almost, I don't want to say fearful that my children have too much, but that is a concern. So sometimes where you're like, hey, are they going to be spoiled to the point where they don't want to hear the gospel or that they don't want to follow the Lord, right? When in America, that's where actually I'm a little more concerned. And listen, I want my kids to have a lot of stuff, and I'd love to give them everything in the world. I believe God wants to give us everything in the world, but he also knows that the more he gives us, the more proclivity we have to not being grateful for it and using it for things that we shouldn't use it for and not depending on him because we have so much. Throughout the Bible, God's people have always been this roller coaster of God blessing them and then them basically forgetting God, and then they have to be put into dire straits to where, okay, they're down here now, I need to trust in God. And we as Christians, listen, we should not want to have to hit rock bottom before we change, you know, before we get back to the Lord. You know, we should be right here where we're getting a little up here and we're like, hey, we're getting a little too big for our britches. We need to get back on par where we should be, right? Instead of like, okay, we're up here, let's just do this dive bomb to where we're down here in the pit, and now it's time to get right with God. And so a constant reminder that, hey, be thankful for what you have. God has blessed us above and beyond anything that we should ever have in this life. And anything that we have, most of the stuff I have is above and beyond anything that I deserve and what God would need to give me. And we need to be content with that and not just be desiring the next new thing and just wanting the next new thing or being envious of what other people have. Listen, you know what? When it comes to when I see celebrities and I see people getting all the stuff that they have, I actually feel bad for them. Amen. I mean, think about these award, what is it called? It's like basically these talent shows or things like that where there'll be like these kids that'll like get famous because they have some talent, they can sing or they can do whatever. I'm actually saddened when they win. Because now I know that they're going to be harder to win. They may never get saved after that because of the riches and everything that comes with it and the corruption. Go out to Hollywood. You want your kids to be corrupt? Take them out to Hollywood. Take them out to that, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah that's out there. And when I see that, you know, everybody's just like, "That's great. I love the fact that you won. You know, you're gonna be famous." And all I can think about is that person may never get saved. Like the chances now have just been just cut down to here. And it's just a different mindset, I think, when it comes to we knowing that the poor are rich in faith, and whenever someone is not saved and then they get all those riches, it's just making it harder. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 here, and it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And here's the thing. When you need anything or you have anything, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And put it on him and just let him deal with it. Any type of burden, whether it's financial burden, mental burden, anything, put it on the Lord and just be carefree about it to the where the Lord will take care of it. And have faith that the Lord will, and he'll give you that peace that passeth all understanding. It says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You want to be content? Think on these things. the more that you're reading the Bible, the more that you're thinking about godly things, thinking about, soul winning or just, doing good unto others and all these things that we should be doing, the more you think about that type of stuff, the less you'll be thinking about the things of this world, the material things of this world, and all the wants that are out there. But then it goes on to say in verse 10 here, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So Paul is stating here, it doesn't matter if I have everything or I don't have anything, I'm content. And this is where we need to be, whatever state that we're in. So what I want to get into now is not necessarily material things, because obviously that's the big one when you think about being content. It's just material stuff, right? House, car, clothing, whatever, right? Food. Those type of things, we need to be content with what we have. And if you look at it, I believe you'll look at it and say, hey, I have more than I need. I'm blessed beyond measure. My cup runneth over when it comes to that. But now let's think about the state that you're in, meaning this is like maybe the point of life that you're in. This could be anything from age to maybe being single, being married, to just different things, different stages of life, right, and where you're at. This could be having kids, not having kids, having some kids, having a lot of kids, right? And listen, those that maybe want to have more kids, I can understand it. But then those that have a lot of kids would say, I wish I had, sometimes you're like, I wish I had more time or I could do these things that those that have less kids do. Does that make sense? Or those that don't have kids. I have 5 kids, I don't have the most in this room. But you know what? Date night's hard to find someone to watch your 5 kids or, things like that. And the thing is just wherever you're at, be content. And you say, well, that's easy for you to say because you have this, this, and this. But I could say the same thing about your situation, right? Just as much as, some could say, well, to the husbands, you get to go leave the house and you can actually go 5 minutes without a child touching you. Amen. And you can do all that, go to work. And they'll look at that and be like, yes, that's, and listen, praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm a man. So, but we could also look back and say, hey, you know what? If I could do my job in my pajamas, that'd be cool too. And if I could do this or that, that'd be cool. And listen, I'm not saying I want to trade jobs with my wife. Because my wife has a hard job. But at the same time, we could all look at each other and say, hey, I wish I had that. I wish I had this. The idea is that we just need to be content where we're at. Amen. Because there are certain things that wives, you don't see that your husbands are going through at work. When they had the person cussing you out for something that you didn't even do. And then they also had the weight on their shoulders that, hey, I need to get paid to pay the bills. And if I don't pay the bills, then I could lose my house. I don't have food or money for food. What's going to happen? All these things. But wives and mothers, listen, I get it. I get why you would look at the husband and be like, yeah, look at you getting drive to work and be by yourself and, all of that. You just get all this time of leisure, And I get it, okay? And so the point, though, is that we can all look at each other and say, this is harder, this is harder, this is easier, this is easier. But either way, we're in the role that we need to be in, and we need to be content. Right. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Meaning, in the New Testament, circumcision doesn't matter. You know, whether you're circumcised or not circumcised doesn't matter. There's neither Jew nor Greek in Christ. We're all one in Christ, right? So it doesn't matter. We're not trying. Listen, especially at that time, you had a lot of believers that were Jews. You had a lot of believers that were Greeks or just people that were Gentiles, right? And doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter where, what stock you come from. Wherever you're called, that's where you're at. In verse 20, it says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." So it's like, if you're a servant, you know, fine. If you're made free, great, use it. And then it goes on to say, "For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. As one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." Meaning that Paul's a virgin. He never got married. He obviously was faithful in that. And he even says, you know, every man hath his proper gift, right? But it says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. So basically, it's like, if you're unmarried, be content. If you're married, be content. But then he's not saying, like, listen, if you're not married, you can't get remarried, or you can't get married, right? He's saying in verse 28, it says, "But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you." And he goes on to talk about, like, basically, if you're married, you're going to be caring for your spouse and all of that, okay? And he obviously has given his side of the story as far as, like, here's the benefits of being single. And this can go out to people that are either married or unmarried. Listen, the grass is always greener on the other side when it comes to this issue. Meaning, you're married, there's benefits to being married. But there's also benefits to being single, as far as that goes. And so you could always look at each other and say, hey, I wish I was there. I wish I, you know, I was single or whatever. Or maybe I wish I was married. And we just need to be content where we're at. If that changes, fine. Right? It's kind of like, if that changes, then use that. But the idea is not to, and listen, I was there. I was single for a while. You know, I got married when I was 29. And I was single there for a while, and I wanted to be married, and I wanted to find the right one and all of that. And I was there like, man, I just want to be married. I'm tired of being single. And it's easy to not be content with the situation that you're in. But you have to just deal with it and be like, I this is where I'm at right now. So be it. And now I'm married. And I can look back and be like, man, I had so much more time back then. But I'll say this. I don't miss the dating world. Don't ever want to go back to that. So, you know, there are some things where you look at me like, that is bad. No, we don't want to deal with that. No, I mean, some people enjoy that part of it, I guess, but no, I'm done with it. So, but when it comes to being content with your situation, where you're at, being content with for example, our church, right? Our church is just over 6 years old. Our church is growing. But you could say, and I was just talking to someone, we were moving the piano, we were just talking about certain things about, like, our church, like the music in our church, for example, right? And some could look at that and be like, you know, it's just not where I want it to be. You know, or it's not Verity Baptist Church. And I'm just going to be frank with you, I don't know if we'll ever be at that point. Verity Baptist Church, they have, like, a whole choir and, like, orchestra, right? Symphony orchestra they straight up have for every service, right? And listen, it's fantastic. And Lord willing, we'll get there one day. But you know what? When Brother Nick's here playing the piano and we have two violinists and we have those that are playing, you know, clarinet and different instruments and stuff like that, listen, when we started, you know what the music ministry was? Me. Now, I'm not exactly a songbird, okay? But I was leading the singing a cappella. Those, the OGs here, no. And everybody's just like, those people that were here at the beginning, they're like, what we have now is fantastic. Like, this is great. But others may come in and say, hey, you know, man, that's kind of lacking to what I'm used to. Or maybe that's lacking compared to other churches. And the idea is to be content with what you have. Listen, if we have a piano player, two violinists, and two, does Anastasia play clarinet? You play clarinet, right? You play clarinet. Okay, so I didn't know if there was a flute in there. Don't want to misrepresent. But if that's all we have for the rest of our church's existence, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's more than what we had before. And now, I don't see that happening. I see us growing. I see us getting, you know, a bigger building with more space to where we can have a lot more instruments. We could have people, you know, we could have a choir behind it. We could have everything, right? But the idea is just being content where you're at and just being thankful for what you have. When it comes to how many people we have at church, right? Listen, our church is above average. It's above average right now. There's a lot of families that are sick. Most of my family's not even here. And if our church stayed there, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't think it will. I think our church will grow. I think the Lord will bless. The Lord will build the church. But the idea there is just being content with where you're at. You know what? I was content when we had 20-some people. The idea is be content with what you have, and I believe the Lord will give you more. The more you're thankful for what you have, the more I believe God will give you. Think about your children. The more they're thankful for what you give them and appreciative of what you give them, aren't you like, here's some more? But if you're just like, I wish I had more, you know, like, or you give them a popsicle and they're like, I wanted red. You gave me purple, you know. Obviously, that attitude there is going to be like, oh, you're not getting a popsicle for a little bit now until you change that attitude, right? So being content. How about those that are married being content with your wives? Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. This can obviously get into the idea of adultery. But I want to say this. Be content with your wives even outside of that. Because meaning this is that you can look at someone else's wife and you can say, I wish my wife could cook like this. I wish my wife did this, right? Tabby's not here. I was going to pick on her, but you're like, my wife can sew, okay? But she's not like a seamstress like Tabby and Rachel, right? But it'd be wrong for me to be like, I wish my wife was like Tabby and like Rachel when it came to like what they can sew and everything. Everyone's wives have their pros and cons and have things that they're better at than others. And we should never just be comparing our wives to other people's wives and saying, I wish my wife did this. I wish my wife, you know, whatever, right? So even outside the adultery, although that's something you need to be thinking about, is the fact that the reason adultery happened is because you're not content with your own spouse. You're looking somewhere else because you're not content. And that's where it starts. Listen, mine eye affecteth my heart, the Bible says in Lamentations. And the idea there is that what you're looking at is what you're going to end up desiring. The Bible says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Don't be looking at other stuff. Don't be looking at, you know, other women that are out there. And listen, I know in today's age, when it comes to the scantily clad, the dress that's out there now, when it comes to, or lack thereof, is the fact that it's hard. Sometimes you got to put on blinders. That's why I go to the gym at certain times, because it's less likely that there's going to be women in there that basically just don't wear clothes. I mean, they just basically wear like skin tight spandex. And I just have to put on blinders or just move to a different area or whatever. And so in the climate that we're in nowadays, you really have to watch what you're looking at. Because the Bible does say that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery already in your heart. And listen, this goes, and I know this is Sunday morning, and this may be, you know, this is, I don't like hearing this word, but it needs to be said. Pornography is wicked as hell. Looking at that garbage and looking at that type of stuff is going to destroy your marriage. If anybody's dealing with that, they need to get that garbage out of their life. Looking at that type of stuff, you say, well, it's not the same. Listen, looking at a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery in your heart. That's not the same as committing the actual act, right? Like the physical act. The physical act in the Old Testament would get you the death penalty. It is still a sin. And listen, you won't commit the physical act if you don't start with what you're looking at and then it going into your heart. Sin, when it hath conceived, I'm gonna mess it up now. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It starts with what you're looking at. Then it turns into lust. Then it comes into your heart, and that will just simmer there until it turns into something else. Listen, you don't become an alcoholic if you never take the first sip. And when you realize, hey, I shouldn't even be looking at that stuff, then you're not going to be getting into that stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs 5 and verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished with always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? It all starts with not being content with your spouse. And you know what? You should be thankful for your spouse. And you say, well, you know, she's lacking in this area. Be thankful for the areas that she's doing great in. And listen, why don't you look in the mirror every once in a while, too? Because there's things that you're lacking. And also, sometimes you need to, your expectations are up here. You need to be understanding of the situation. Listen, I have 5 kids, and I can't expect my house to be just this spick and span, sparkling, like no junk in the house. Like when I'm talking about like toys being everywhere and stuff like that, you gotta know where you're at, your situation, okay? And priorities as far as where you're going to be, as far as what you expect, okay? If your wife's homeschooling your children, which most in here are homeschooling their children, she's cooking, cleaning. Listen, I have 2 washers and dryers, and they're running all the time. All the time. And that's for my kids' clothes, mostly. Now it's mine, too. You know, I go to the gym and all that stuff, too. But that stuff's running all the time. And my wife's always like trying to bring her expectations up here. I'm like, if you want to do that, it's fine. She's like straight up wanting to like grind wheat berries to make flour because she says it's more nutritious. And I'm like, go for it. She's like, sourdough is the you know, we want to go sourdough on everything. I'm like, fantastic. She made sourdough pancakes. I'm like, do that. But it takes a lot of work. She may put herself to that standard, but I'm not necessarily holding her to that standard. Does that make sense? Like, I'm going to basically say, hey, you know what? That's great if you want to do that, but I'm not expecting it, okay? And it's easy to look at someone else's wife and be like, they do this, they do that, you know, and they're just making all this stuff. But they don't have the same circumstances you do. Everybody's got different circumstances. Listen, your kids may be harder than my kids. My kids may be harder to deal with than your kids. And we're all spanking. You know, we're not sparing the rod. We're disciplining the same. But listen, my kids have anger issues, which is going to be my next point. Runs in the family, okay? Sorry, Dad. The last point I want to, you say, where is this sermon coming from? Well, it's Thanksgiving's coming up, so obviously being content. But there's something, Brother Dave, so our deacon, Brother Dave, we were on vacation, and we were just talking about dealing with anger. And I know a lot of us deal with that, especially the men, okay? We deal with, I think more so patience and anger. You know, those things go hand in hand. You know, being temperate, not losing your temper. And, you know, he mentioned to me that, you know, he had heard somebody say basically to deal with anger, one way to deal with anger is basically to, and if I misquote what you said, I apologize. But basically, the idea is that things aren't ideal, and that's why you're angry. Meaning, like, things aren't going in the ideal way that you want it to go, and therefore you get angry because it doesn't. And it made a lot of sense, but the thing is that I believe this is also a biblical way of thinking about this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Meaning this, if things don't, the reason that I'm usually like upset or angry is because it's not going the way I want it to go. Think of this, you're on your way to work and you get behind somebody going like 2 miles an hour. That's not ideal, is it? Right? Like, I need to get to work and this person just has no particular place to go. Right? That can make you angry, right? Because you're like, listen. You're like, listen, buddy, I got places to be. Like, all this stuff. And it makes you angry. Because it's not ideal. The ideal situation is that the road is completely open and no one is in front of you. But the ideal is not realistic. That's not real life. And that's what you have to understand, is that the ideal wife, the ideal husband, the ideal house, the ideal anything, the ideal situation doesn't exist. And if you realize that, then I think that will help you realize, okay, this isn't ideal, but this is where I'm at. And I think about this because a lot of times I get angry because I'm not getting things done I want to get done. Part of the reason is that I make this list, this impossible list of things I'm trying to accomplish. I mean, I'll just give you an example. Just at my house, there's like this list of things I'm trying to get finished and done. And it just looms over your head. And every day you don't get it done, you're just angry about it. I'm just personally telling you. You may say, you're nuts. Who cares about what's going on, you know, with that? I'll give you one example. There's like this gutter. When they built my house, they didn't put piping in to get the water away from the house. So there's this one gutter that's like kind of tucked back behind the house. And I have the stuff. I have the piping. I have everything I need to do. I just need to do it. The only problem is I don't have any time to do it, you know. And just in my mind, I'm like, I need to go out there. I need to dig this ditch. I need to put this pipe in. I need to put this in here so I can get the water away from the house so I don't have to worry about that and all this. Now, there's no water coming into the house right now. As far as I know, it could do that for the rest of its life. You know, the rest of its duration is not going to do anything. You're like, what's the point of the story? The point is, my ideal situation is that I go get that done, and that's one thing on many things that I want to do. But here's the difference. Here's the thing that I need to realize is that's a want, that's not a need. There are things that are needed, and there are things that I want to do. There are things as far as time with my family, get home from work, before they go to bed, I need to spend some time with my children. Sometimes that's helping out with the schooling. Sometimes that's just playing with them. That's just being around them. And I don't want to sacrifice wants that I have that need to get done with needs that have to happen. And the ideal situation is that all that stuff gets done. Somehow, I slow down the rotation of the earth, and the day is longer, and, you know, I get all of it done, right? And that's the truth of the matter. There's not enough time in the day. But to me, when I think of this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So know this, is that it's not always wrong to be angry, right? That God is angry with the wicked every day. There's righteous indignation. But we're not to be an angry person, right? You're not just to go around just being angry about everything. You could be angry that there's wickedness going on. You could be angry that abortion is going on, right? But we're not to just go to bed stewing about it. So, one, it's not wrong necessarily to be angry, but that shouldn't be something that you're just known for, and it should be something that you're just constantly being angry, right? You should be able to turn that off and just be like, all right, I'm angry about that, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't control it, whatever. But then it goes on to say, in verse 28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And when the Bible says, you know, obviously the qualifications of a pastor is not to be soon angry. And this is one that I do believe I meet that qualification, but it's something that I'm constantly having to keep in check, right? It's something I'm constantly wanting, making sure I'm reining in. Because I would say most of you would probably think, what are you talking about? And hopefully that's the case. Most of you would say, what are you talking about? You don't seem like an angry person or whatever, right? But and many of you are, you know, can relate when you work a full-time job and then you have kids that you're coming home to and like all these things that are going on, it's easy to lose that patience, to lose that temper and all of that. And I think the way to really focus on this is the fact that in whatsoever state I am, to be there with content. I'm not saying not to, you know, be like, my kids are unruly. I'm going to be content with that. No, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? Obviously, the Bible says that, you know, thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt save his soul from hell. You know, the Bible, there's so many verses on discipline. But what I'm talking about is that, hey, you know, maybe dinner isn't the three-course meal that I was expecting when I came home. Maybe, you know, maybe the house isn't as clean as I would like it to be. Maybe, you know, my clothes aren't all, you know, my favorite clothes aren't clean right now, you know, which is hard for my wife because I have like three shirts I like. So, but you have to think about the fact that this isn't ideal, but it is where I'm at. I'm content with it. Right now, in my life, we're in survival mode. My house can be clean later. And when I say clean, I'm talking about like, things organized, right? I'm not talking about like there's trash laying everywhere and it's just like putrefying sick stuff going, you know, like, no. I'm talking about like it's just, it's tight, you know what I mean? Like everything's, the pillows are all in a place, like all this stuff, right? And right now, it is what it is and I don't let that bother me. If dinner isn't what I expect it to be, I don't let it bother me. I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to that. My wife, she actually told me she loves that about me. I could eat cereal every night and I'd be fine. And it doesn't bother me. As long as it's that organic Cinnamon Toast Crunch type of cereal, we're golden. It's not exactly healthy for me to do that, but some other husbands would say, no, I need a hot meal every night or they're upset about it. And listen, everybody's kind of has their priorities. But I'll say this, you can't expect everything to be right. If you want the house to be just spick and span, you can't expect this area over here to just be the same level. I'm just being real, and I'm talking to young families here. I'm talking to those that have kids that are dealing with this. You need, if you want to deal with anger, and I'm talking to the husbands when it comes to this, and I'm not saying the wives can't have anger, okay? Because you need to hear this too, that sometimes you get angry with your kids because things aren't going in that ideal situation. Know this, is that your kids are never going to be in that ideal, like, proper place. We're all just working, we're just doing what we can to do the best we can with what we got. And this has helped me out a lot when it comes to just dealing with anger. Of just saying, this isn't ideal, but ideal isn't realistic. This isn't getting done, but this doesn't have to be done. And I just let it go. be like, if I get some time, I'll do it. There are certain things that need to be done, and that's what I worry about. That's what I get done. And once I get it done, if there's time left over, and maybe there won't be time for me to do that stupid gutter thing for another, like, maybe it'll be springtime when it happens. So be it. And you say, that's silly to get angry over that type of stuff. But that type of stuff is things that I know us as husbands and fathers, it looms. You're just like, that is just sitting there, and I just want that to get done. And it just bothers me that that's not done. And you just have to just, nope, that's not going to get done. That's not the priority. And being content. When I'm angry, you know what that means? I'm not content. And that hits hard. You know, when I'm angry about something, I'm just like, I'm not content. I'm not content with where I'm at. I'm not content with what's going on. Now, if that's my fault, I need to deal with it, right? Because there's sometimes where things will happen, you're angry about it, but you did that to yourself. And you need to fix those type of things that are going to be causing that. But go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and we'll be done. God tells us not to worry about food and raiment, doesn't he? He says, take no thought for it. Really, what is needed is very simple. I mean, think about Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a book all about things that are done under the sun. We're talking about work, labor done under the sun. It's all about what we do here on the earth. And it's not necessarily saying that it's sinful. It's just vain because it's all going to be burned up. It's not going to last forever, right? Whether it's a house, whether it's material things, whatever, right? So the whole book is dealing with that aspect. But then it concludes with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, and he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Here's the simple thing you need to worry about. Fear God and keep his commandments. Do that. Everything will take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And you think about the judgment seat of Christ and how it's going to be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. One is eternal and one is temporal. And the things that are temporary in this life are all going to be burned up. And ultimately, what we do as far as keeping the commandments is what matters. Part of keeping the commandments is to bring up your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Obviously, preaching the gospel to every creature. Like, there's commandments that are in there. But you know what? You know what's not in there? Me getting that gutter fixed. You know what? That's not going to change the cost of tea in China as far as whether I get that fixed or not. That's the type of stuff that I worry about and I get angry about. In the end, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to be ultimately anything worth. It's going to be all burned up. And being content, especially in the going into the holiday season, being content with the things that you have will cause you to be thankful for what you have. Amen. And being content with the things that you have will cause you not to be covetous. Because the Bible talks about that this world is not comprised of the things which you possess. Meaning this is that your life is not, it's not about what you possess. And the thing is that people may look at that and say, well, gain is godliness. No. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And being content with what you have, being content with the situation that you're in life, the time of life that you're in, whether you're young, you could be a kid and be like, I wish I was older. You could be our age and be like, I wish I was younger. Or, you know, you could be older and wish you were younger. You know, like, I feel I'm in the prime. Right? I love this time right now. 38 years old. Dominating at football against the other team. Speaking of Monongah, that's where we played at. You may have heard about us. No, I'm just kidding. But all joking aside, just being content. Listen, if you have your health, be content. If you have food and raiment, be content. You're single, be content. You're married, be content. You don't have children, be content. You have children, be content. You're young, old, be content. And listen, you'll have less stress. You'll enjoy life more. God will bless you if you're content with the things that you have. And if you're content with the things that you have, chances are God will give you more. Amen. And let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these passages. Lord, and help us, especially at this time, to be content with what we have. Be content in the positions that we're in right now. And Lord, just pray that you'd bless us and just thank you for everything that you've given us. Lord, we don't deserve it at all. And Lord, thank you for your unspeakable gift, which you've given unto us, eternal life. And Lord, we just thank you forever for that. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us the rest of today. Pray that you'd be with us as we go out soul winning. And Lord, just pray that you'd bring us back at the appointed time. And Lord, we love you and pray all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave will come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 427. Psalm 427. In your psalm books, we'll sing We Three Kings. If you would stand, we'll sing Psalm 427.
We three kings of Orinet are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect line. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to the